Okay, today we're starting our last Masechet of Shas, Masechet Nidah. A few things before we start. Number one, I just want to remind everyone that we're having a big Siyum on January 5th in Binyanei Ha'uma, and you can register for the Siyum if you...
What?
Men too.
Men are invited also. If one would like to, can't make it to the Siyum but wants to be part of it, or is also coming to the Siyum and hasn't learned all of Shas or even part of Shas, one can be a part of it. We're having an Adopt a Daf program. People can take on a Daf, and there'll be a collective Siyum of all the women learning. The Adopt a Daf is meant for women particularly. Anyway, I hope you're all coming, and you can register for both of those programs at www.hadron.org.il. Okay, the second thing I wanted to start with for today is we're starting Seder Taharot, the last Seder of Shas. It's the only, we're at the last Masechet, so there's only not one Masechet of Taharot, but there's only one Masechet of Taharot on which there's Gemara, right? We had the opposite of Kodshim, where there was on everything except for three Masechtot. Now, the obvious reason is, what is Taharot? Taharot is Dinei Tumah V'Tahara, which is purity and impurity, which is only related to when the time of the temple, and there were things that people, right, people kept. There were two types of Tumah and Tahara. One was in the Beit HaMikdash, which was actually three we'll talk about. One is Kodshim, which is actual sacrifices, sacrificial meat, all that kind of thing. The Kohanim, if they came, there were all kinds of, whatever. Anyway, the sacrificial meat, and in addition, Truma. Okay, all of Truma had to be eaten b'tahara. Okay, so now if the Truma becomes Tameh, then you'd have to burn it. Okay, now Truma is something that would be relevant when it's not the time of the Mikdash. Except the people generally, we weren't, after the Mikdash, people aren't so careful about Tumah and Tahara anymore, okay? So already, over time, that kind of, nowadays, well, we just don't have Tumah anymore. Tumah, right, once there's no Beit HaMikdash and all that. Anyway, we'll leave that for now. The third thing is that there were people, if you remember, who kept the Prushim, who kept their regular chulin, they ate them al taharata kodesh. They treated them as if they were kodshim and kept dine tuma and tahara related to them. So first of all, there was, after the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there were still aspects of tuma and tahara that were important. However, over time, it also became less relevant, and that's why the rest of taharot, other than nida, which we'll get to in a minute, is not part of the Bavli, because it wasn't relevant. Now, you'd ask the obvious question. Well, Kodshim also isn't relevant. So I saw a nice answer in the introduction of the Koran from the Steinsaltz. And it says there that the difference is that Kodshim, people wanted to learn the mitzvot of what you do in the Beit HaMikdash because they were hoping the Beit HaMikdash would be rebuilt. Now you might say Tarot also, but Tarot is a side issue. It's not the main focus, right? To learn about what went on. The Beit HaMikdash was very important and exciting to learn, and we wanted this to, like the way we ended yesterday about the importance of the individuals trying to visualize what it was like so that we kind of hope to come back. Whereas Taharot is just a side part and therefore not so central. It's central, but it's not, it's just that the fact is, if it becomes Tameh, then you have to treat it like this. So therefore, it's different. And that's a possible reason as to why Kodshim is found in the Bavli and Taharot is not. But why Nida? Because Nida has two aspects. When a woman comes in Nida, which we're going to see, there's three ways, okay? It's called Nida, but there's really three different categories. There's a woman who's a Nida, there's a woman who's a Zava, and there's a woman who's a Yoledet. All three have the same type of Tumah status, although the details of each one differs based on all sorts of things, right? So a Nida, for example, bleeds. That's her regular menstrual period. She bleeds for however many days. The 7 days, she basically becomes Tameh at the end, Tahor at the end of the 7 days that include the days that she bleeds. Unless she continues after, then goes into the category of Zava. And Zava is a category of a woman who has irregular bleeding and not necessarily, right, she bleeds not in the time of her period. We're going to have to see what that is and how the rabbis determine how we determine that. And that woman, it depends whether she's a Zava Ktana, Zava Gdola. If she's a Zava Ktana, she sees only 1 or 2 days, and then she's just impure for one additional day. And once she sees 3 days, she becomes Tmeah, called Zavah Gdola, and she has to wait 7 clean days after the bleeding ends. So that's a whole different category. And the last category is the Yoledet. And there, if you remember, 7 days of Dam Yoledet for a male, if she gives birth to a male, and 14 days for a female. And then the bleeding after that, we've seen this many times, right? There's the 33 and the 66, 33 if it's a male, 66 if it's a female, that are all what we call Dam Tohar, which means what? It means she's permitted to her husband, but she can't go to the Mikdash yet. Okay, and that's why until she brings her Korban Yoledet, that goes back to what we learned in Kinim, the Korban Yoledet, and only then can she go into the Mikdash. So those are 3 types of women that have this type of Tumah status. Again, there's 2 aspects always to be discussed about this woman who's in Nida. Number one, she's forbidden to her husband, Isur Karet, if they sleep together when she's in Nida. Number two, anything she touches becomes Tameh. She's an Av HaTumah. Okay, so therefore, anything she touches becomes a Rishon. It could be food, it could be Kelim, it could be other people she can make Tameh. Things she sits on, there's Tumah Moshav, etc. We're going to get into the Dinei Tumah V'Tara. Okay, that's the basics. Now, we're going to start off with an important Machloket Shammai and Hillel. Interestingly, we don't pass them like either of them. Chachamim, we're going to give a third opinion. Okay, here are sheets for today. I charted it out. Now becomes the question, now, when does a woman become a Nida? A woman becomes a Nida technically when the blood leaves her uterus. But the woman doesn't see the blood the moment it leaves her uterus. She sees the blood at a later stage. We don't know how much later, and that's going to be part of the problem. Today, we're discussing particularly Tumah and Tahara, things that she comes in contact with. Most people say that this is only talking about that and not with relationship with her husband. I'll get to it in a minute, what would be the ramifications in terms of relations with her husband. But a woman sees blood. The question is, if she was dealing with taharot, okay, which could be truma or hulin, all the people kept as if they were taharot, or any type of object that is relevant, did it become tameh? So if she sees blood, the question is, was the blood coming out of her uterus previously and she just didn't see it yet? So does she have to say, oh, well, 5 minutes ago I was touching this item, or 3 hours ago I was touching this item, or, right, when do we go back and say, oh, from there we know for sure it's fine, and from here we're going to basically retroactively make things tameh, or maybe we don't retroactively make anything tameh. If it was with her husband, let's say she has sexual relations and then sees blood. Now, we have to be concerned. Maybe she was bleeding when she had sex before that. So maybe she already had her period. So the question is, the ramification would be what? You know, it was shogeg, but if it's shogeg and it's karet, he would have to bring a korban, or they would have to bring a korban chatat. Okay, so therefore, that would be the ramification. Most people say here that we're talking only about Tumah V'Tahara for this issue, that we go retroactively and say, oh, from there we have to assume she was already bleeding. And it seems to be a gzeir, we're going to see, it's a gzeirah d'rabanan. It's not the midin Torah, it's tameh. It's really just a gzeirah, the rabbis were being extra careful. So let's see the machluk. Shammai omer, kol hanashim dayan sha'atan. All women, now this seems weird, all women, what does he mean? Okay, we're going to see later in Mishnah that they start distinguishing between particular types of women. But basically, he doesn't mean all women, he means any woman who sees blood, okay? Dayan sha'atan. What does that mean? It means anything she touches from here on in will be tameh until she becomes pure, right? She purifies herself. But nothing from before. We don't go backwards. We don't say anything. It's sha'atan, which means the moment they see. Okay, the hour, right? Her hour. Her hour means when she sees, and that's all. We don't have to go backwards at all. Hillel omer mipkida lepkida. Hillel says it goes back to the last time she checked herself. Okay, now we're going to start to learn all about these internal exams that women did at the time. Right? People still do this when they're in need to check, various checks. We'll get to those all later. But in the time when they were dealing with Tumah and Tahara all the time, and they would, especially women who, let's say, lived in a, she was married to a Kohen or brought up in a Kohen's house. So she would need to be always checking herself. And women checked, we're going to learn, and potentially checked also before intercourse and after intercourse. So they were constantly doing bidikot. Okay, nowadays, generally, people do not do bidikot the way they did then. In fact, generally, it's recommended not to do a bidika unless you need to do a bidika. And what does that mean? It means she basically inserts a cloth inside and checks to see if there's blood there. So he says, we go back to the last time the woman checked. Okay, you look and say, oh my God, that could be a long time. But because the women regularly check themselves, it potentially didn't necessarily have to be a long time, especially women who were sick, oskopatarot, often check themselves. Right? Rashi says, he's just giving an example there. No, that's not true. Okay, but it does seem women often did bidikot, but he says, go back to the last time you checked. And I think I saw somewhere that if women who were dealing with taharot would generally check themselves once in the morning, once in the evening. Could be this woman didn't, and you know she wasn't careful about that. Then she's a little bit messed up, and she has to go back to the lat. Now, obviously, it could get very complicated, and that's why it's only gzeirah d'rabanan. If you don't remember what you touched, it's okay. But we go back retroactively, according to Hillel, all the way back to the last time she checked. Anything she knows she came in contact, then is going to be tameh. The Chachamim omrim lo kedivrei ze velo kedivrei ze. We don't hold like Shammai, we don't hold like Hillel. Notice, by the way, Shammai is more Mekel here, much more Mekel, which generally Hillel is the one who's more Machmir, although I wonder if Shammai and Hillel were always clearly like that, or more Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which were their students. So it's a good question. Chachamim omrim lo kedivrei ze velo kedivrei ze, ela me'et le'et me'ma'eter al yad mi'pkida le'pkida, u'mi'pkida le'pkida me'ma'eter al yad me'et le'et. It's a very complicated way of saying, we go by whatever, okay, each one can limit the amount of the other, which means we say, what's me'et le'et? Me'et le'et means 24 hours before. He says whichever was the closer one to where the woman was at, either 24 hours, let's say she checked 3 days ago, so then 24 hours. If she didn't check 3 days ago, but she checked 6 hours ago, then we're going to go by her bedika. So whichever one is closer to the time she checked, we're going to go only back to that. We're not going to go all the way back to the last bedika necessarily, or to the last 24 hours necessarily. It's going to be either 24 hours or mipkida lepkida. Kol ishash. Okay, now we're going to have a few other things. We're going to have, the first thing is going to be an exception to the rule. We're now going to say, Kol isha sheyesh la veset daya sha'ata. We're getting a lot of new concepts that we're going to see all over the Masechet. A veset is a woman who sees regularly. She has a very regular period, and it's going to mean that she knows every time this day she gets her period, it has to be established like general rules of chazakah, according at least to the Psikat Halakha. There's a debate, is it two or three? But we paskin three. Okay, there's a whole debate in many places about chazakah, is it two or three? Likewise here. But we're going to say three times she sees blood on the same day. That's going to be her vesek kavua. Therefore, we assume she only sees blood on her vesek kavua. So it's kind of like a proof. It's as if we have aiding. And therefore, she doesn't have to go backwards. Obviously, there's a bit of a problem here because is it a vesek kavua for a particular hour that we're talking about? Because even if, let's say, today is her vesek kavua and at 10 o'clock in the morning she sees blood, do we have to go back to the beginning of that day? Right? Generally, vesetot, by the way, are periods of day or night. They're not a whole 24-hour period. So it could be you go back to the beginning of her veset, but not before that. You wouldn't have to go anywhere earlier than that. So that's an exception to the rule. The hameshameshet be'edim, if she has intercourse and before and after she does a bidika, hare zo kipkida, it's just like the bidika that we discussed. Now, this is a little strange. Why would you have to say that? Wouldn't it be obvious? So some people say when the women checked before intercourse, it was a different type of bidika and not as thorough a bidika. But for these purposes, we're going to consider it as if it's a thorough bidika. Umema eter al yad me'ed le'ed, v'al yad mipkida lepkida. So then we're going to say, and again, it would mean whichever came first, her checks before and after intercourse. If that was within 24 hours, then we'll go by that. If it was earlier than 24 hours, then we'll go by 24 hours. Some people say this sentence really belongs before the sentence, Kol isha sheyesh la veset, because it really connects to that. And some people actually read this, and the Rambam says that a woman's supposed to check before and after intercourse always, and that the gist of this sentence is that a woman, not hamishameshet, the way we read it, which is the one who did this, but that women, umishameshet be'edim. A woman should always, and by the way, it's not only the woman that needs to check, it's also the man. Because if a man checks after intercourse and sees blood, then the assumption is it came from the woman, and that would also be an issue. So both of them are supposed to check be'edim. This is a chumrah that at least as far as I know, people don't hold by nowadays, but the Rambam does say that in that one should. Ketzad dayasha ata. Okay, the Mishnah here is a little disjointed. There's a lot of different things going on. I also kind of charted it out with little titles up so we could see where the Mishnah is going. So first brought this through in Machloket. It gave an exception to the rule. Then it brought another halacha about this. Mishameshe be'edim is like a bidika. Now we're going to have an explanation of Shammai, what he means with dayasha ata. Ketzad dayasha ata. So here's an example. Haita yoshevet bamita, she was sitting on her bed, ba'asuka b'taharot, and she was dealing with all sorts of things that were, you know, potentially could become tamei. U'pirsha, and then she walks away, v'ra'ata, and then she sees blood. Hitme'a v'hein tahorot. So she becomes impure, but whatever she was just dealing with is not a problem. You see here, by the way, right, which makes sense, they use their beds for all sorts of things. Their bed was like a couch, right? They didn't have probably a lot of space in their house, and they didn't have a lot of furniture. So the bed is something that was obviously used for other things. Last issue of the Mishnah, and this is actually clarifying something about Chachamim. Because they're the only ones who said this 24-hour period, even though it says Meile, Eina Monet. So now they're going to explain what does it mean. Eina Monet Ela Misha'a Shera'ata. Meile sounds is what does it mean Meile? From this time to that time. Meaning, from this time today to the previous time yesterday. But now you might think today, yesterday, and maybe you start from the morning of yesterday. So what they're explaining is made late is 24 hours. Instead of saying 24 hours, they say, and this is their wording, Eino mone ela misha'a shera'ata. From the exact moment she saw today, she goes back to yesterday. Okay, the Gemara starts off now and wants to understand, right, since Chachamim is really just a compromise shita between the two, therefore, we're really discussing the opinions of Shammai and Hillel, because Chachamim is just I wouldn't say made up, but it's sort of, you know, taking both from both. So now the question is, my tame de Shammai. Okay, what's his reason? Why does he say that you don't have to go backwards at all? Kasavar ha'amed isha al-chezkata. We should take the woman and whatever her chazaka was. What is a chazaka? Chazaka is what status you were in before we got to this situation, right? The most famous is, you know, we talk about like an eshet ish. If you're an eshet ish, so your chazakah is you're a married woman. If you're not married, your chazakah is you're not married. So if all of a sudden there's an issue, maybe you are married, you know, we go back to what you were before, what your status was before, until we know otherwise, we keep you in your status. I don't know if it's the most famous, but it's one of them. So, ha'imed isha b'chezkata, and what was her status before? Isha b'chezkat tehora omedet. She was tehora, until, right, innocent until proven guilty. She was tehora until now she sees blood, so we assume her presumptive status from before remains. So, what's Hillel going to say about that? Because he obviously doesn't hold that way. He says we go all the way back to the last time we had proof that she was tehora. Hillel, Ki amar ha'ame davar cheskato. When we say that, that's hecha delele reu tami gufe. That's if we don't have something going against her in her body. Okay, hold on 1 minute. We're going to have to explain what that means. Aval itita kevan demigufa kachazia lo amrinan ukma acheskata. Since she sees blood from her body, we can't say we go back to, right, we go by what her chazaka was beforehand. Okay, there's two ways to understand what this means. Either it means a woman regularly bleeds, and because she a woman doesn't regularly change from eshet ish to a married woman to non-married woman. That doesn't happen on a regular basis. But since this happens on a regular basis, then there's no real chazaka for the woman. Again, that's all unless she has, which what we said already, the halacha is going to be different if she has a vesek kavua. Then already she has a real clear chazaka that for that, no, and once then, yes. But if she, just for bleeding regularly, he says that means she doesn't really have a chazaka because it could happen any time. The problem with saying that is it doesn't really match the wording here. What does the wording say? Since it comes, she sees from her body, right? And they originally said that's when there's no reu tami gufa, there's nothing going against her from her own body. When do we talk about chazaka? Like, let's say you take a food item. And you say, is this food tamei or tahor? Well, it's the last time we knew about it, it was tahor. So we can say that's its status. Now, how does that change and become tamei? When something comes in contact with it, a sheretz, a person who's tamei. That's already something from an external source. This comes from internally. So the second explanation is that since it comes from her internally, and since then it also came out from her body, then maybe we should say she doesn't have, her chazaka is not as strong. This is a little less of a... The first explanation is more logical, because since she regularly bleeds, so we can't actually ever give a woman a status as you don't have blood. This one doesn't work as well, but it works a little better with the wording. You know, why would you... Although I have to say we've distinguished many times between things that come from internally and things that come from externally. So theoretically, you also could... You know, it does make sense. I just think the other one is a little stronger. However, that second explanation works better with the wording. So each one has a plus, a pro, and a con. Okay, now we're going to have a question. And the question is going to come from a Tana'itic source. Okay, for those who are not used to my sheets, I'll just... comment that the charts that I make are color-coded and font-coded to have different fonts for different types of materials. So if you have Tana'itic sources, which are from the time of the Mishnah, which the Gemara often brings in to question, and that I always put them in a different font so you can see the distinction between that and when a pasuk is quoted and when it's just the Emoraim talking. So now they're going to ask a question. Two questions, actually three. Okay, I'll give you the structure of what's about to happen. The first question is going to be a question both on Shammai and on Hillel from a Mishnah. The second one is going to be a question from a Mishnah just on Shammai. And the third one is going to say, once we've resolved all that, each of these Mishnayot contradict each other. Okay, and then we're going to resolve that, and that's the end of today's daf. So, the Gemara starts off, Umay Shnami Mikvah. How is this different? If the whole thing is all about Chazaka, we're now going to bring cases. Right, so again, Beit Shammai says, we rely on her Chazaka. Beit Hillel says, we don't rely on her chazaka. So now we're going to have to say, how is this different from a mikvah? What's the issue with a mikvah? A mikvah needs to have 40 se'ah, right? It's the particular measurement it needs to have. If you find out later that the mikvah is chaser, it's missing, it doesn't have all that water in it, and you knew at some point it did, but now it doesn't. The question is, right, what about all the tefillot that we did until then in this mikvah? What are we going to do with it? So the Mishnah says, Mikvah shenimda, the benitza chaser, and it turns out it's missing some of the water. Kol taharot shenasu al gabav lemafreya, all the taharot that were tovled in that mikvah retroactively, bein birushut harabim, bein birushut hayachid, whether they were in public or whether they were in private, tmeot. They're all tmeot. Okay, so now what's the private public? And what, first of all, what's private or public? The mikveh, whether the mikveh is private or public. You could have a mikveh in your house, right? It's not so common nowadays, but in those days, people definitely had mikvehs in their houses. Well, first of all, they needed them much more often. And what's the difference between private and public? This goes back to something we learned a long time ago, both in Sota, but we've learned it since then. The Sota is always our example for Sefek Tumah. The Sota in the Torah, even though it's not Tumah of impurity like we're talking about now, but the Torah refers to her as being Tumah, or Im Nitma'ah, Im Lo Nitma'ah. So what's a Sota, right? She's suspected of having slept with some other man. And what do we say? Sefek Tumah, right? We're Machmir on her in a Sefek situation. The rabbis learn from this that when you have a suffix about Tuma in a private place, because the Sota is all about something she did in a private place, we're going to say it's Tameh. And Safek Tum'ado Birishut HaRabim, because if a Sota is suspected of having done something in public with somebody, we're not concerned. It's only if she went into a room and closed doors with some man and we don't know what happened in the room. Then we're going to suspect her, but not if she did it in public. So therefore, we have a halacha that all safek tumah, any safek, we're not sure if something became tameh, in reshut harabim is going to be tahor. So now we're going to say it's pure. Now, in this Mishnah, it says, it doesn't matter whether it was reshut harabim or reshut hayachid, no matter what, tameot, we're going to say they're problematic. Okay, so now, l'shamai kasha l'mafreh. For Shammai, what's going to be our problem? We say things are retroactively tameh. We don't say keep the item in its chazakah. The item was tameh. The mikvah was, as far as we knew before, it had 40 se'ah from the beginning. So keep it in its chazakah until such time that we know otherwise. That's not what this Mishnah says. It says the reverse. And the Hillel, kashya vadai. What's the issue here? Because it's clear here that we're machmir, okay, that it's, if you remember, what did we say? In our case, we said that we're going to assume this is all only derabana misafik. In this case, it's vadai tameh. De ilu me'ed le'ed shebenida tolim lo ochlim velo sorfim. Okay, now we're going to learn something that we didn't say before, but it's obvious to the rabbis that when we say me'ed le'ed in the nida case, it's tolim. What does it mean, tolim? Let's say you have truma. If truma becomes tameh, what do we do with it? We burn it. But if it's not tameh, we don't burn it because it's truma and it's sanctified, right? It's the exact where if it's sefek, you're stuck. You can't burn it because maybe it's good and therefore you shouldn't be burning something that's good, that's sanctified. On the other hand, maybe it's bad and then it should be burned. So what do we do? Lo ochlim velo sorfim. We leave it in the middle. You can't eat it because maybe it's tameh, but you also can't burn it because maybe it's tahor. So our case is a sefek, and in this case, they say it's tuma badai. How do we know it's tuma badai? Because what did I just say? Safek tuma bereshut harabim will be tahor. And here they say bereshut harabim, it's tameh, which means it's not a safek situation. It's a vadai. So because of that, they say, according to Hillel, it should be, yes, it should be aser, it makes sense, but it should only be aser mishum safek, which means that if your mikveh was a bereshut harabim, it should be tahor. Because safek bereshut harabim is tahor. So what do they say? Now here comes our answer. Hatam mishum. So the answer is going to be the same according to both because they're going to say this case is different. Hatam mishum deika lameimar ha'emed tameh al chezkato ve'ema lo taval. Here you can say, right, the item that was tameh should, and it's all an issue of where you put the chazaka on. There's two things here. There's the mikvah and there's the item. So the question is, the mikvah, yes, it was, what did we know of it before? It was chazkat maleh, full. But the item was chazkat tameh. And we want to purify the item, so we say the item just stays in the original status that it was in. So then they say, adrabah, no. Why are you saying the food? You should say, okay, we're going to have a back and forth. You can see it charted out. There's a, on every answer, we're going to have a question until we finally get to the answer. They say, no, why don't you take the mikvah and say the chazak is about the mikvah, and the mikvah was totally fine. So we should say, we should go by that. So what are the answer? Hare chaser lefanecha. But look, we see that it's missing. So you can't say it has a presumptive status of being good when you see right now that it's bad. Let's say, well, then that's exactly the same as the nida. Right? Therefore, we're going to question this. Hachanami, harei dam lefanecha. It's the exact same thing as the woman. Why would you say, but when Shammai says, hamei shal chezkata, harei dam lefanecha, she's bleeding. So you could say that then you're stuck with the same thing. They're actually the exact same thing. So what do they say? Hashtehu dechazai. No, but it's only right now that she saw the blood. So they say, what do you mean? You say the same thing with the mikvah. Hachanami. You could say, hashtehu dechaser. In other words, the woman can say, yes, it's true, right now I'm bleeding, but before that I had a chazaka. Well, the same thing with the mikvah. The mikvah is now chaser. Before, they keep asking these questions, but they're obviously not great questions because they're going to, I'm sorry, they keep giving answers, but they're not great answers because in the end, they really are the same in this way. So then they say, no, it's different. The blood, if I see blood now, and I didn't see it an hour ago, or if the mikvah is chaser now, but I didn't know that it was chaser an hour ago, or with the blood, yeah, right, I didn't know I was whether or not I was bleeding an hour ago, or I didn't know whether the mikvah was chaser an hour ago, or 2 days ago, or whatever it might be. So there's a difference. Why? Hachi, hashti, you think you could compare these? Hatam ika lememar chaser va'ata, chaser va'ata. When it comes to the water, what happens to water? How did the water come out? Either, you know, someone dunked things in and slowly water came out and slowly, slowly, slowly until it got to less than 40 se'ah, or it evaporated. That happens over a period of time. But hacha mi'ika lememar chazai va'ata chazai, it doesn't happen. The blood drips slowly, 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 a little bit more, until she finally sees it. It's not a gradual process. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Umay kushya, dilma hagas, hagas chazite. Really, maybe it did drip out little by little by little by little. In other words, theoretically, that could happen by a woman also. So here comes their final answer. What's the distinction between mikvah and now you have to realize, why is the, by the way, before we get to the answer, why is the reason for Shammai and Hillel going to be the same answer? Because both of them are more mekel in this case than they are in the other. How so? Shammai is more mekel, because with the woman he says Dayashata, right? It's from now. And when it comes to the mikvah, everything retroactively. You know, the assumption is Shammai agrees with that Mishnah. And Hillel is more mekel because he says it's only sefek, whereas in the mikvah case it's vadai. So Hillel's also going to a more mekel direction. So now, what do they answer? Hatam ikatarte lereuta. Hacha ichka chada lereuta. There's two things going against it, whereas here there's only one. Here, what's our issue? She sees blood now. That's the one thing we have going wrong. When it comes to that case, there's two things. Number one, there's a tame item, which is b'chazkat tame. Number two, you have a mikvah that's missing water. So you have two things acting against it, and therefore we're going to retroactively say it's a problem. Whereas with the woman, it's just her one issue that right now she sees blood. We don't have to necessarily go back and say, again, either according to Shammai at all that she was impure before, or according to Hillel, it's only a suffix, it's not a vadai. Okay, that was our first question, that was our first answer. If you got that straight, or if you didn't get it straight, we're going to have the same type answer for the second question, so it'll help you. Umayshna mechavit. Okay, what about a chavit? The assumption is a person has barrels of wine, and then he has wine that he's about to drink. Every time he wants, right, he takes a batch of wine, so he does trumot ha'masrot on it. But what's the best way to do trumot ha'masrot, or an easy way? He takes this one big barrel of wine, and every time he has a whole bunch of wine he wants to do trumot ha'masrot on, he takes it from the barrel. He takes a little from the barrel and says this. I don't know if it's the best way to do it, but it's a way people did it. He takes some wine out of the barrel and said, this wine is Truman Amaser on that batch of wine over there. Okay? So he keeps taking from this one barrel, taking from there. What he's basically doing is saying, I'm connecting, let's say, one portion of wine from here to all the portions of wine over there, and I'm taking this for that. Okay? So he's Mafresh Trumot Amasro from the barrel. Now, let's say he goes, now what's the issue? At some point, wine turns to vinegar. Now, if the wine turns to vinegar, he can't take Trumot ha'Masrot from that vinegar on the wine. Two possible reasons why. Number one, you can't be mafrish, if you remember we learned this, on two different types of items. So you can't take lemons and take truma from there on your oranges. Likewise, vinegar is not wine. So you can't take from your vinegar on the wine. The second possibility is maybe wine and vinegar are the same because vinegar is just wine turned bad. But it's wine turned bad, and you're not allowed to be mafrish. If you take all your fruits inside and there's some really bad ones, you can't say, I'm going to give the bad ones to the Kohen. You're not allowed to do that, or to the Levi, or right, or your Truma Masrot. You can't do that. You have to take your nice ones. Ein mafrishim min ha-ra'a al hayafa. So this would be a case of taking Truma from your Ra'a al hayafa. Now, let's say you've done this a number of times. You've taken from this barrel Truma Masrot, and then one day you check the barrel. Hayab bodeket ha-chavit. Liyot mafrisha la truma. You want to be mafrish truma, so you decide, I'm going to go check. But apparently you didn't check the last few times, or the last time, or whatever it might be. Hayam mafrisha la truma beholech. Or, right, he generally checks the barrel, let's say. But not, you know, let's say I'm going to assume it means he checks the barrel regularly because he takes truma and masro from there. But he apparently didn't check necessarily, you know, right before he did some Truma Maser Hafrasha. V'achar kach nimtza chometz. Okay? Then, at one of the checks he does, he finds it was vinegar. Kol shlosha yamim, okay, either with or without the word harishonim, right? It means he goes back 3 days, vadai. Mikam ve'elach, safek. Okay? 3 days back is vadai, a problem, and from there on is safek. Okay? Just one second. Right. So if you look in Rashi, he says it's a machloket in kol yamim kol shlosha yamim vadai plukted Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'Baba Batra. Rabbi Yochanan omer kol shlosha yamim la'achar b'dikar rishona shematzah b'ches katah. Sorry, I explained it wrong. Right. Okay, so we're going to see two opinions about how to read this. He says 3 days after your last check. Okay, you checked it, let's say a week ago. So the first 3 days of the week, it's going to be for sure good wine. And then after that, it's safek. For Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Omer, kol shlosha yamim kodem bedika achrona. Sorry, that's what it is. He says after your first bedika that you checked, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says since your previous check. Okay, from bedika achrona. Okay, that's why the question is the word Rishona there or not? Okay, so there's debate about how exactly to understand this, but Mikam ve'elach safek, so kasha l'shamay. So this is clearly a koshi for Shamay as to why would we say these, we go back and say it's safek. So again, he answers, Hatamishum de'ikal ha'emar, ha'emet tevel al chezkato, ve'emar lo nitkan. There again, what's the chazaka? The chazaka was, this was wine that hadn't, you hadn't been mafresh trumona masro, now you want it to be mafresh, but there's a safek about whether that, and its presumptive status was problematic. You can't eat tevel until you take trumona masro, right? Tevel is fruit items or produce items that you haven't taken trumona masro on, and they're forbidden. So again, the Gemara says, Adreba, he'emed yayin al chezkato. Again, there's two items going on. There's the fruits and vegetables that in this case, it's the wine that you want to be mafresh trumona masro on, and it's the wine, there's two wines. There's the wine you want to be mafresh and the wine you want to be mafresh from. That wine, its presumptive status is that it was good. So again, we're going to say, Adrabba, he made yayin al chezkato. The last you knew, the yayin was perfectly good. Ve'emar lo hechmitz. So they say, what do you mean? How could you say that? Harei hechmitz lefanecha. But you see that it's chometz. You can't say it's presumed to be good a minute ago when you know that right now it's already vinegar. It's clear that at some point before that it was wine. So they say, hachanami. But you could say the exact same thing by the woman. Harei dam lefanecha. She's also bleeding now. That means she was probably, again, because the blood only when it comes in an earlier stage, when it comes out of the uterus, before she actually sees it, it's already problematic. So you can assume it happened at an earlier stage also. And then we're left with the question as to why does Shammai not want to go retroactively and say it's a problem? So again, they say, Hashtahu dechazai. Well, she only saw the blood now, so we can assume before that there was no blood. So they say the same thing by the wine. Hatam nami, hashtu dechmitz. But also with the wine, we only saw that the wine became vinegar right now. You can assume maybe it happened right now. So again, we're back to, they seem to be the same, and why are you distinguishing? So again, they say, hachi hashta, but how can you compare? Hatam ikalamemer hechmitz va'ata yechmitz Hachmatza, wine turning to vinegar, is a gradual process. So the assumption is that if now it's vinegar, it likely happened at an earlier time. By the blood, though, can you say it slowly, slowly, slowly dripped until she finally sees it? So they say, why don't you think those are the same? They seem to be the same. It could theoretically be that there were drops coming out slowly, slowly until she actually saw them. So again, we answer, again, what's the distinction? There it has two things going against it. Number one, you have the tevel, the wine that needs to have trumona masro done to them. And number two, you have this other one you're trying to take the trumona masro from that's turned to vinegar. So you have two things going against it, whereas by the woman, you only have one thing, which is that right now she sees blood. Okay, so we've resolved our second problem against Beit Shammai. Third thing, and last for today, Birame chavit amikva. But now the chavit and the mikvah case seem to contradict. Maishnaha chavadai, umaishnaha chasafik. Right, remember, the second one was only, we said, mikam ve'elach, right, from whatever bidika it was, we're going to say, it's safik, right? The beginning stuff is vadai, okay? The later stuff is safik, whichever way we understand what the later stuff is. But no matter what, the only problem is safik. Whereas, and that's why it wasn't even a question on Hillel, because he agrees that it's safik. Whereas the first one said it was vadai tameh. So why in that case is it vadai tameh and here safek? So the easy answer always is to say, it goes by a unique opinion. Okay, that Mishnah follows a unique opinion. Which one? We're going to talk about the chavit. Amar Rabbi Chanina Misuha, man tana chavit, Rabbi Shimon hi. It's actually Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and we're going to see, de lagabe mikvah nami sveika mishavele. Rabbi Shimon, in the mikvah case, also holds it safek. And that's very easy. We say, well, that Mishnah matches Rabbi Shimon, who also disagrees with the Mishnah that we saw by Mikvah and holds it in the Mikvah case it's a Sefik. How do we know that? Ditnan. It should say Ditanya. It's not in the Mishnah. It's a Braita. Tanya means Braita. As it says in the following Braita, Mikvah shenim dad venim tzachaser, exactly our case. Kol ha-ta'arot shenasu al-gabav le-mafreya, bein berushut ha-rabim, bein berushut ha-yachid tmeot. That's the opinion we already saw. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Birushut HaRabim Tehorot, because Safek Tumah Birushut HaRabim is Tahor, and Birushut HaYachid, Tolin. Okay? And therefore, we're going to say that's why that chavit doesn't contradict, because that chavit Mishnah matches Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, you have to ask, when they put together the Mishnah, why in Mikvah did they choose the opinion of, you know, the Tanakhama's opinion, and why in chavit they chose the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And then you can get to this tomorrow, Ushneim lo lamdua ela misota, and it all comes out of the sota, and then we're going to get into that holy mood that we said about the sota. One small correction, the last line of the Mishnah, back to Bet Amud Aleph, I realize I confused it. The last line says, Afa pishamru mitama meleit eina mona ela misha asharata. This is where we say the whole thing is only misafik. It's only because of a doubt. Even though we say that she has to go back 24 hours, she only counts when she's counting her days of Nida, she only counts from the day that she actually saw, not from the 24 hours before. So when you're counting your 7 days of Nida, they start from when you actually see the blood and not from not from the time that you, the 24 hours previously.